Hello and welcome to The Hardy Brain, the show that takes athletic, introverted entrepreneurs and leaders and transforms them into ironclad brain performers. I'm your host, Dr. David Hardy. And today on our show, we've got another amazing guest. He is the host of the Virtual Campfire Podcast, one of Thinker's 360 Top Voices in Leadership, and the author of two books, Climbing the Right Mountain and Campfire Lessons for Leaders. Welcome to the show, Tony Martinetti. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's so good to be here.
This is exciting. I'm looking really forward to this conversation. And so just to hit it off right now, if you were given a whiteboard and given the following instructions, answer the question, what makes you who you are? What would you write down?
Yeah, I love that question. And you know, who doesn't like a blank canvas, right? To work with. I'm sure there's a lot of people petrified of that, but I know I don't. One of the things that I would think about is I'm a grounded leader, a grounded person who really loves the outdoors, but loves to become that person who helps other people see that, you know, being that calm presence in the outside world is really important, but also an expansive thinker. So when you think about the being in nature, it's about seeing the horizon, going beyond the horizon and thinking what's possible, what's on the other edge of that mountain that we need to explore. I'm an explorer and at the heart, but I'm also an artist. So there's a lot of that nature and art that really have influenced who I am as a person. And I think there's something about that that really comes into the work that I do on many levels. So you'll see that come up in the books that I write and also in the coaching that I do.
Amazing. Now, you do talk about campfires, leadership, water coolers, connection, church. Is nature kind of your church then? Like, is this where you find the strength and the, I guess, brain bandwidth to carry on with the stressful existence that is humankind and leadership?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's something about, you know, getting out in nature that helps us to connect with who we are, right? We have to get out of our screens and get away from our digital devices and connect with our primal beings of who we are. And that happens in nature, as it was from the very beginning. We have to see who we are by connecting with that sense of, you know, the fresh air and being with the natural parts of the world to really get to know who we can be and also have that refresh of who we are. And one thing I'll point out is that one of the things I do from time to time is when I'm feeling kind of stuck in the business and stuck in my world is I step away and do things like climb mountains and do hikes in different places just to reset myself and say, okay, where do I need to go next in my life and in my career so that I am refreshed and ready to take on the next challenge?
Nice. Now, has this always been integrated and been part of one of your practices, or was this one thing that you kind of lost for a little while and then rediscovered?
Definitely lost for a little while. You know, it's funny because I tend to say this from time to time. If I were to write a movie about my life, not that I'm, you know, self-importance here, but I ask this question of a lot of people, like if there was a movie written about your life, what would it be titled? I often say that my life would be The Misadventures of a Lost Wayfinder, because there were so many times in my life that I felt like, you know, I am a wayfinder of sorts, but you know, you get lost, you get stuck in patterns, and it's hard to know what to do next. So you continue to stay in that pattern of, okay, I'll keep doing the same thing. And then you realize, wait a minute, when we disrupt our patterns, let go of what we're doing, that is when we get different results. And so And I think for me, those disrupting patterns happened most naturally when I was outside of my work.
Yeah. Right. Now, what were these patterns that were sending your life into chaos or that were just not serving you then?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I worked most of my career working in biotech and particularly in finance. And that's, all very good. But the fact of the matter is when you realize that you're continuing to do the same thing over and over again and realizing that you may not be that person you thought you were. You prescribe to a societal definition of what success looks like, and you continue to work really hard to do something over and over again, and then realize that, oh, wait a minute, there might be something else that's available to you or something else that you're meant for, but you haven't really opened yourself up to explore that. And I think that's something that I had to break out of to be able to see a new possibility, that there was something else in me that was waiting to come out. That's just one example. Also the idea of writing a book, I never would have dreamed or thought of writing a book. In fact, the first time I put pen to paper, I was like, who am I to write anything? Then you start doing it. And before you know it, you're doing it again. So I think there's a lot of that, which, I'm sure a lot of listeners have the same feeling of like, gosh, like, I don't know, that's not me. I could never do that. But the reality is a lot of us can do that. It's just a matter of committing to the practice.
Right.
And breaking the pattern.
Oh, absolutely. And there's all sorts of real, like, destructive patterns out there. And of course, yeah, there's always the, okay, somebody hits rock bottom and then they're able to pull themselves up and they're a success. And it's not always that simple and not quite always that pattern there for leadership. And a lot of it is kind of what you mentioned there of almost like boredom, like being stuck in just blah, blah land. Yeah. Can you kind of speak to the differences between those two and what you've noticed with the clients you've worked with and over the, I guess, 3+ decades you've been at this?
Yeah. And I think one of the things that, this is really interesting because it comes down to a few things that I've noticed and I wrote about in my first book, which was, we start on this path of, climbing the mountain, our mountain that we have in our career. And it's not that like we have any ill intent, but ultimately we think, okay, the next thing I'm going to do is continue to move forward on this path. And I'll be happy when I get to that thing, the next promotion, the next, rung on the ladder.
Right.
But we postpone that sense of fulfillment, that sense of connection to what's really important. Instead, we just, go through the motions. And then we lose all of the color of, I call it the Dre Grabness of life. And we lose the color and the vibrancy of who we are in that process of trying to connect with this next rung of the ladder. And so what we sometimes have to do is question, pull back and say, wait a minute, let's pause on the climb and think, okay, why are we climbing? What is it that we're pursuing? Who do we want to become? And start to think differently about that ascent. It's not that we are, that we are completely needing to reshape our lives. Sometimes it's just a matter of recommitting to the path that we're on and think, why are we pursuing this path? So a lot of people, that's the reason why they need to take a pause is because they've lost their sense of connection to the work they do. And they need a reset on that connection. And I think that's where I want to make sure people understand is that, you don't have to completely change your life, but you have to also reset your commitment to what you want in your life.
Right. Now, did this happen to you? Like this, was this when you rediscovered nature and kind of did your own pause then?
No, I mean, I've had a few different moments along the way. The first one, first major one was experiencing a major moment of depression and burnout that, right. That was my darkest moment. And, you know, then realizing that that wasn't what I wanted to live, what I didn't want to experience in life. And it had me starting to claw my way out of that dark moment into discovering a path of, you know, a better existence, and wanting to live for something more meaningful, I mean, most predominantly for my family. And so that was the first big moment. And then the other moment that happened after that was, you know, after a little bit of awakening to the idea that I wanted to live more purposefully, realizing that the work I was doing, which was in the finance field as a CFO of a company, that I wasn't enjoying the financial world any longer, and decided that as I was sitting in a boardroom of a biotech company, that I wasn't connected with the way leaders were showing up in the room, and decided to walk out of a boardroom and said to myself that I'm going to leave this room and change the way leaders show up in the boardroom. And so that was a big moment for me, because it was a decision that came with a lot of implications for me. First of all, because I had no plan. Second of all, it was a big decision to decide to leave the corporate world and go on a path that was, you know, really unknown. And I decided at that moment that it was going to be something that would be really connected with who I truly was, which also required me to go on a self-discovery.
Right.
A discovery of who I really am at the core.
So was this mid-meeting that you just got up and left? Yeah. Wow. That was like one of those moments where it's like, I'm done. And
yeah, I mean, it took a lot of like build up to that, in the sense that there was a lot of things that I had noticed and experienced along the way. You know, I saw leaders who were, you know, treating people like they were toner cartridges that just could be replaced, and, you know, cogs in the wheel that, you know, that these are people. I mean, we should treat them like, you know, with the care and feeding that they desire. I mean, they're people whose livelihood is based on this role that they hold, and they come to work every day wanting to be inspired and connected to this very, very meaningful purpose. I mean, we were in the world of life sciences where our job was to save people's lives. And it wasn't just like, hey, like, you know, we'll extend people's lives. These were, you know, rare diseases, tough to treat diseases that really extend and keep people alive. So for me, that purpose meant a lot. And when you have leaders who just don't respect and honor that, for the people who make that happen, it really meant something to me. It made me feel very frustrated that their actions did not align with that purpose.
Right. Now, did anyone chase you out the room and was trying to talk you down this ledge, or was it, let him go. Let Tony out of here. He's reached it.
No, I mean, it wasn't, it was, you know, at first they probably didn't know if I was going to come back. It was, you know, one of those moments where you leave the room, but you're like probably wondering why I didn't come back. And I did have conversations with people after the fact to say, hey, this is what's happening. I'm not coming back. And this is why. And so as much as it was dramatic, it was also, I did want to kind of leave on the right terms in that regard. And I think everyone understood when I described to them the situation and the feeling that I had, and also wished me well. And they said, you know, this is one of those things that along the way, people would tell me things like, there's something about you that's different. And I would often say, oh, that's nice. But here's what I do. I'm a numbers person, and I'm moving a million miles an hour up this mountain that is, you know, based on being the analytical finance person, you know, need to be focused on this goal. But the reality is they were trying to tell me that there's something about me that's different around how I show up and how I connect with people and all that. And I think that's what, when people started to see that I was doing something different, they're like, this makes a lot of sense now.
Absolutely. Now, the numbers and kind of the adrenaline of being in a high business position, it fulfilled a need for a little while, correct? And 100%. Then it was this other part of you that was repressed and needed to come out.
Yeah. Which is interesting when you think about it. Like, there's a sense of, you know, if you're a person who's sitting there and probably thinking like, how do I know if I need to make a change like that? Like, you know, when there's something being held back, you know that there's a part of your identity that just doesn't feel fulfilled and doesn't feel like it's being fully expressed. Because I know I did. I was like, just didn't feel fully expressed. But I also just kind of said, okay, but that's maybe just something that I need to strive more to go down further. Maybe I'm just not getting enough of this one thing in my role that I need to get more of. So if you're feeling that sense of unfulfilled, it might be because you need to go a little deeper and say, well, why is that feeling there? What else could be possible? And one of the exercises I do, not to kind of go on a tangent, but I'll just share, one of the exercises that I do with my clients is that I have them look at their weeks, their week ahead, and say, okay, what is it that you're most excited about in the week ahead? Is there something that you're looking forward to? If the first reaction is they have nothing that they're really looking forward to or excited about, then that's starting to be a cause of alarm, because it means that they've lost connection to the things that they're excited about, that inspires them.
Right. And that's epidemic out there. It's everywhere. But in this buildup, a lot of people too feel stuck. Like, you walked out on it, you had that moment. And then did you later have like a holy shit moment? Like, I just walked out on my career. What do I do? And then when you're trying to find this new connection, were there moments of like crickets, like no one's connecting with you? How do I make this actually happen? Walk us through the steps after this epiphany you had and the other downfalls that probably fell after.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There's no doubt about it that you, when there was a lot of moments of like, what did I just do? But at the same time, you know, this was what part of the process. Like, when you think about the change curve, you know, there's this moment of detachment and grief and all of the emotions that you go through that we have to go through in order to get to a better life or a better place. And just like someone losing their jobs, you know, you have to come to the realization that like, well, I mean, it's happening to me and this is happening right now. Ultimately, I have to go through those stages to realize that something on the other side is going to be waiting for me and it's going to get better as long as I stay in the moment and continue to do things that are going to progress me in the right direction. So I'll talk about more of the steps that I took, but I'll just say one thing is that there was a quote that really drove me at that moment that really made a difference for me and continues to. And it is, if you're willing to feel everything, you can have anything. If you're willing to feel everything, you can have anything. And that comes from Peter Bregman. And a very meaningful quote when you think about it, because it basically says that if you're open to all the emotional feelings that you can experience, have the emotional courage to feel it all, then your ability to persevere and move through all of this is much greater. And you're able to move through the zone of unknown and get to the other side, which is exactly what gave me the strength to say, well, you know, we'll figure this out. We'll get through this and be okay with the detachment and be okay with all these challenges and know that if you're strong enough, you'll get through this. Yeah.
Right. Now, the zone of the unknown, part of that is how long it can last for.
Yes.
And when we all go through this detachment phase and everything else, it never happens in the timeline we would like it to, right? We all want it yesterday. How do you walk your clients through the fact that this is happening, but it's going to be happening for a long time and you don't know when it's going to make the change?
Yeah. And I think the key thing is to make sure that they take control of the things that they can control, which is taking action on a consistent basis to make sure that they are doing things that are moving them through this process. So it's not like they're paralyzing themselves in that emotional state. I mean, emotions are meant to be felt, but not necessarily lived in. And it's like fear, right? They say about fear, how like fears, you know, it's a good thing to have fear to an extent, because it's going to give you the feeling of, I got to move forward, but don't live there, but don't live in fear. Don't let it paralyze you. Because if it paralyzes you, you won't take the action. So the key thing is to let these emotions do what they need to do, which might be the catalyst for you to move to the next place to go forward. And just to double click on this just for a moment is to say that, like, I always think about the gap versus gain thinking, which is comes from Dan Sullivan, this idea that, like, when you start to take steps, the next step, and you start to make little progress, little incremental steps forward, and you think, okay, well, you know, what is this doing for me? When you look back at what you've done from where you left to where you are now, that gives you the momentum that you need to move forward. But if you're constantly thinking like, well, I'm not at my new job, or I haven't, you know, figured out my true path or where I'm headed, then you're always going to be freaking out. You're always going to be thinking, look how much further I have to go. That's the gap thinking. But gain thinking is about looking back and saying, how much progress have I made? How many connection conversations have I had? How many times have I, you know, reached out to people and did something brave that I would have never have done had I not stepped out and done that, you know, done something, took an action that I wouldn't have done before.
Right. Now, this is amazing. So it's the zoom out, zoom in approach too. So we've got this whole mountain you talked about in your book, Climbing the Right Mountain.
Yeah.
And now when you're going through the thick of it though, taking those steps, how do you find out if you're taking the correct steps though? Because there's so many, there's infinite possibilities, there's uncertainty. So what about taking the right steps during this and then looking back? And on top of that, doing it when you're stressed out and not thinking properly.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, I mean, there's no quick and easy answer to that. And I guess the starting point is to explore options first before stepping into, you know, just imperfect actions. In fact, one of the models I use with my clients and people in general I talk to is this idea of expand your vision, narrow your focus. Expand and narrow, like you said, zoom in, zoom out. I mean, zoom out and zoom in is this idea that, like, you have to, before you start to go in and dig into activity, first expand your possibilities and say, okay, what is it that's available to me? What could I do? You know, make sure that you're not just completely, like, just use the job search criteria as a, you know, as an example. Let's say that you just lost a job as a data scientist and you're saying, well, obviously I'm going to go find another data scientist job. Well, hold on. Well, why don't you kind of think about what are the skills that I've used in the past that have made me a successful data scientist? And maybe it's not about being a data scientist again, but being something along the same lines, a pivot. Maybe it's about being a strategist or using the skill sets of a data scientist to do something unique and different, changing the results entirely and having some conversations with people who are from a different field might open up a new way for you to think about what you're doing. And when you have those new ideas, then it's about narrowing down and taking the focused actions that may or may not be the right action. So I'm going to say that there are going to be mistakes along the way. There's going to be missteps. But the key thing is to take steps, assess, come back, and try another path. And as long as you're continuing to learn from those steps, the key thing is you will make progress. You have to be patient in that process.
Right. Absolutely. Now, another part of this is the stress management part. So, of course, thinking better under this pressure, especially some people when they lose their job or leave a job, they're financially strapped or relationships get strained. So making these correct steps and reflecting and keeping a clear mind. You mentioned nature earlier and having that soothing, calming effect. What are some of the other strategies that you've come across that will help kind of ease the nervous system so that you are capable of making more informed, relaxed decisions?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, what you just mentioned is really a key part of this, but the, if you hold on to something too tightly, like for example, the stress of making that next move, of getting that next job or whatever it may be, what happens is you reduce the likelihood of you actually making it happen, because the tension you're holding inside of yourself actually holds you back from creating it. So the best thing you can do is create ways to release some of that tension by getting out in nature, like you said, or finding hobbies and ways to connect with other people that get you out of that tension. You know, one of the things that I've come to realize, and even in the work that I do for myself, is that when I step away, I actually create more. I create more opportunities. And it's like, well, it's frustrating as all heck, because when you think about it, it's like, why is it that I'm not generating more opportunities when I'm doing the work? Well, because I'm holding on too tightly, or I'm creating tension. And so the best thing you can do if you're feeling, you know, if you're dealing with that stress of, you know, going through change, is to find those moments to pause and do something that relaxes yourself, but also gets you thinking differently, because it unlocks something for you where you're able to be more creative. Or potentially, you know, it's like the whole shower moment, right? When we're in the shower, we're often like thinking at our best, because we're not, you know, in front of a screen, you know, pounding our hands on the computer. Instead, what we're doing is we're relaxing ourselves into a moment, and our mind starts to wander.
Right. Now, putting this back into the solitude of us building ourselves and calming and soothing our nervous system, how does this translate then into better relationships too? Because you talk about connection. So if you're tightly wound up, how does that lead away from connection and opportunities and vice versa?
Yeah. When you're tightly wound up or feeling that constriction, then you're coming from a place of trying to protect yourself, like closing yourself off from the world. The reality is we think better and work better when we're in connection with others. And it's kind of weird when you think about it. It's almost paradoxical. You think that we would think that we'd think better alone. Right. But when you're really connected with other people, bouncing ideas off of other people and feel safe with other people, then your ideas get better, because it's you're in communion with other humans, which is really a powerful thing. So I think it's important for people to realize that. It's like one of the things that I've noticed about my coaching is that when people come into the coaching experience with me, and this is not to brag, it's just something that I've realized, is that people are like, wow, like every time we have a conversation, I see new possibilities. I'm like, yeah, it's because of the fact that we get to co-create. We get to create things together because we're having a conversation that explores deeper than what you would normally do by yourself. And that is really where it's important to let go of the tension, because when you let go of the tension, it allows you to let in things that are from the outside world that will allow you to be more of you.
Absolutely. Now, who are some of the coaching clients you've worked with then? And what would be one major success win you, you would like to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I won't name names, but I'll just, you know, give you some examples of some the types of companies I've worked with. I work a lot with like small to mid-size organizations. I mean, I've had some bigger companies, but most of them are in the tech sector. I work with a lot of what I call outlier leaders, who are, you know, technologists, who are, you know, chief science officers. You know, they come from a technical background, but they want to connect well with their leaders, you know, with their people. And I think the key thing that is important for me is to help them to understand themselves better. And also make sure when they understand themselves better, when they connect with themselves, they connect better with others.
Yes. I mean,
that's an important aspect of this. And so it's great, the one-on-one perspective, it's great, but also doing it in team environments is also powerful too. And realizing that when you bring a team of people together who feel like, wow, that, you know, we're stagnating in terms of our ability to innovate, or our culture's not feeling the sense of collaboration. When we start to have conversations that break down some of those barriers and get people to get to know each other better, they feel the sense of like, wow, we're moving powerfully together. We're doing things that we never thought we could do. And we feel better about the work we're doing, which is awesome. So again, you know, most of those organizations are in the tech sector, but I've been known to work in industries as broad as entertainment to insurance and then beyond. So
right on. Yeah. Now, if somebody's looking for your expertise and really resonate with yourself, Tony, where would they find you? And how do they get more information about your talks, your seminars, your books?
Yeah.
Where do they find you?
Well, the best place to find me is at my website, which is at ipurposepartners.com. And if you go there, there's links to I have an assessment there. You can find it where you are in your leadership journey. And you can also find it my books, my podcasts, and a whole number of other things. Another great place is on LinkedIn, where I'm pretty active in terms of posting insights and what have you. That's where we found each other. So, yes. So yeah, definitely find me there.
Excellent. Definitely check out Tony. And for everyone listening, stay tuned to the next episode of The Hardy Brain, the show that takes athletic, introverted entrepreneurs and leaders and transforms them into ironclad brain performers. Take care. Thank you.